We are singing this very deep devotional prayer by Srila Basu Ghosh, one of the personal associates and favorite kirtan singers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. If Lord Gaur had not appeared as the Yugavatar in this age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of the loving mellows that comprise the glory of Radha? Who would have had the power to render ecstatic devotional service that follows in the footsteps of the damsels of Braj? Indeed, the clever expertise of the Braj gopis is a prerequisite for entering the supremely sweet forest of Brinda Devi. Oh, please sing again and again the glorious qualities of Lord Gauranga. Just try to keep your heart simple. Not even one person within this ocean of nations has ever seen such a magnanimous personality as he. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Basu Ghosh's heart? Yesterday in the morning, by the inspiration of His Holiness Barsana Swami Maharaj, we discussed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the avatari, the source of all incarnations of the Lord, and he who possesses all the potencies of all the avatars. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna who have appeared in one form. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami reveals Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rashmat. Ekat manam api bhuvibhavade habidam gathau thau chaitanyakyam prakatam adanathadvayam chaityamakyam radha bhava duti subalitam nomi krishna swarupam. The absolute truth is one, the source of all that exists, him from whom everything emanates, all material and spiritual worlds. But that one truth, which is the source of all living, expands himself into two eternally, without beginning or end, for the purpose, for the very purpose of the absolute truth's existence. Raso vai saha. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. His ultimate pastime in the spiritual world is simply to enjoy. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have that eternal longing for enjoyment. Every living being is seeking pleasure. Because Krishna is always seeking pleasure. But the difference between Krishna and ourselves is in this conditioned state of material existence. Because we identify with a temporary body and a temporary mind, and we're trying to find pleasure through temporary objects, we are continuously
frustrated. All attempts for happiness in this material world inevitably must bring pain. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Krishna has proclaimed this truth that we must take very seriously. This material world is a place of suffering. Birth, old age, disease, and death. And even when we get what we want, it's like a foaming bubble on the surface of the sea. All of our pleasures, all of our attachments, all of the objects of our love just burst into oblivion, as does our own bodily identity. But Krishna, He is the controller of Maya. He never falls under the influence of His own external potency. He is the master of all masters. There is no impediment to His enjoyment. In this material world, the Purusha avatars perform the work of creation, and the various functions of the universe are deputed to the demigods. But Krishna, as Rasaraj, is simply enjoying. There is that famous story that is often cited of a German scholar who searched all over India to understand who really is the highest God. And when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and heard from him, he understood that all the deities I see are working. Durga, she has so many weapons in her hand. She's on a lion doing her work. And Shiva's in meditation. Meditation is tapasya, it's work. And Kartikeya has his spear. And Hanumanji has his club. Ramchandra has his bow and arrow. But Krishna, he's simply playing his flute, enjoying. Therefore, he must be supreme. He must be supreme even in the world of gods. And it is true. As Maharaj was explaining yesterday, Shamsundar, when he's in Vrindavan, is simply at home. No formalities. Everything is intimate in love. When a king is in his court, everyone bows down and he performs his service to the kingdom. But when he's at home with wife, with children, with intimate friends, he enjoys the deepest satisfaction. Vrindavan is the supreme, highest realm, which is Krishna's most pleasurable home. And he expands himself eternally as his own Ladini Shakti, who supplies ultimate pleasure for him. For the sake of love, Radha and Krishna are eternally performing their pastimes. And factually, that love between Sri Radha and Gopinath is the supreme and only reality. Everything else is an illusion. In the spiritual world, the love of Radha and Krishna is all that exists. Some in other planets and Vaikunthas, it manifests as the love between Sita and Ram. It also manifests in part and parcel form between Krishna and his devotees. But the fact is, the only reality is divine love. Everything else is either a perverted reflection or illusory. Radha and Krishna have again become one, Swarup Damodar Goswami prays, in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has come with the complexion and the devotional sentiments of Srimati Radharani. But not only that, he has come to distribute that love of Sri Radha and the gopis of Vrindavan to the world, indiscriminately. Factually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give what no other incarnation has ever given. Therefore, he is the most magnanimous, most merciful to the most fallen. Narottam Das Thakur prayed, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. Of all avatars, you are the most merciful to the most fallen. And that is a fact. To give the highest revelations of the spiritual world to the lowest people of Kali Yuga is something that can never be understood and appreciated by anyone's mind in full. Giving the highest thing to the lowest people at the lowest time freely. That is Lord Chaitanya. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, he immediately wanted to go to Vrindavan. That beautiful story we know. In Katwa, Keshav Bharati Maharaj he didn't know what to do, because here is this beautiful 24-year-old personality who's at the prime of his youth with the most loving mother and helpless wife, and he's left them all to take sannyas. And the entire village of Katwa were outraged by this. They could not tolerate the thought of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Gauranga's hair to be cut, and Sachimata to die in separation, and Vishnupriya, not even 16 years old, to be a widow for the rest of her life. Impossible. They threatened Keshav Bharati, we will destroy your ashram, you cannot do this. What to do? Keshav Bharati told Sri Gauranga that I cannot give you sannyas unless you get permission from your mother. So he started running back to Navadweep. Keshav Bharati Maharaj called him back. He said, you can do anything. You can do anything. I should not bother you going all the way back and forth. And there was that most fateful historical lila of the haircutting ceremony. The barber himself. How was it possible? Seeing the beautiful silken hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was the most beautiful thing on all of earth. But it was different than anything beautiful that we see with these material eyes. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty and his flowing hair was a beauty that we considered our own. If you see somebody beautiful, it's their beauty. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beauty awakened love in people's heart. And in love, when there is a reciprocation of love, there is a conception of a possessiveness. Yes? By cutting Lord Chaitanya's hair, you're cutting your own heart. the thing that everyone there was most attached to in the entire creation was about to be destroyed before their eyes. It just wasn't he was beautiful and you're making him not so nice. No. They were so attached with such deep love. Their identity, everyone there, their identity was intimately intertwined with Lord Chaitanya's beauty because of their love for him and his love for them. Therefore, cutting that hair was worse than death. It was more painful than any pain. Because there is no greater pain in this creation than a broken heart. People can survive terrible pain of disease. But when there's broken heart, there's just nothing you can do about it. People commit suicide. They can't live with it. They go into utter depression. There's just nothing you can do. It's just a pain that's all pervasive, 24 hours a day. That's what broken heart is about. And that's we're talking about broken heart for a perverted reflection understanding of an infinitesimal little jiva. And we see how it affects people. But when the supreme, all-pervading object of everyone's love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he captures your heart, and when he breaks your heart, it is crushed to pieces. And this is what we're talking about during that hair-cutting ceremony. It wasn't just a few people rolling around because they didn't like the aesthetic shaved head of Lord Chaitanya. And with every hair that was cut, that scissors was cutting in two everyone's hearts, and then in four, and then in six. With every hair that was cut, it was just cutting the heart into another division. Tens and thousands, millions of divisions the heart is being cut into. Tiny pieces. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the process of doing this, simply increased everyone's love. And that was his purpose of incarnating in this world, to awaken the ecstasies of love of God, and especially the ecstasies of love and separation. And this type of separation, there's one type of separation where the Lord is about to go. Then there's another type of separation after he leaves. But the most intensely painful type of separation is the separation of while he's leaving. When the gopis heard that Akura was going to take Krishna away, they were immersed in deep separation. But then, that is called bhavi viraha. But when Krishna was taken away by Akrura, then every day they were just praying and hoping that he would return. That's the only thing that kept them alive. Is he gave his promise, and they were expecting that he would return. But the most intensified manifestation of that separation was as Akrura was taking Krishna on the chariot. They were seeing their beloved in the process of leaving them. They were casting their bodies in front of the wheels of the chariot with the prayer that if Krishna must leave, take our life first. Put us out of misery before you take him away. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his hair was being cut, Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dutt, Chandrasekhar Acharya, these devotees and all the people of Katwa, they were just falling unconscious with every hair that fell to the ground. Screaming, wailing, crying. It was the most piteous scene. And then Lord Chaitanya took his bath in Ganga. And he was blissful. He was so happy. When the people were trying to stop him and making all threats, he just did kirtan in such a way and danced and intoxicated them so much that when he finally sat down and told the barber, "Cut my hair," everyone was too much in this kirtan ras to be able to stop him. And the barber took a vow. He would never cut another hair in his life. But because he cut Lord Chaitanya's hair on Lord Chaitanya's order, his hand became so sweet that he became the world's foremost sweet maker. And he opened up a sweet shop. He's the only sweet maker that we still talk about 500 years ago. That was the quality of his sweets. After the bath, they sat under that tree, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Kesha Bharati, "Is this the mantra you want to give me?" And whispered it in his ear. And Kesha Bharati Maharaj said, "This is very good mantra." And then he gave the same mantra back to him, the sannyas mantra of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is the supreme renunciation. Lord Chaitanya revealed that sannyas means renunciation, and the ultimate renunciation is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, because their renunciation is unparalleled. They relinquished all motivations for either material or spiritual gain. Everything was only for the pleasure of Krishna. And the intensity of their desire to please Krishna is all-inclusive. All other rasas, Vatsalya ras, Sakya ras, Dasya ras, Shanta ras, all the rasas are fully manifested in and included within the gopis, but with an intimacy that is far beyond. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas very much fulfilled both his external reasons and internal reasons for coming to this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one beautiful song, he sings how we are all like fish in the ocean. And we're caught in the net of Maya. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw that we were all like fish in the ocean of birth and death, and the net of his mercy was trying to capture everyone. And in Sri Navadvip Dham, he captured almost everyone through the net of his Harinam Sankirtan movement and his beauty and charm. But there were those who were proud, proud of their high birth, proud of their knowledge and education, proud of their abilities. And it is a universal truth that devotion cannot sit in the heart that is filled with pride. Humility is the prerequisite for real devotion. If there is not genuine humility, whatever devotion is there is still superficial. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to reach to the people who were too proud to accept his mercy, His Holiness Barsana Maharaj was describing so beautifully yesterday how the students of Navadvip, who were high Brahmins, They were attacking Lord Chaitanya. They were blaspheming him.
They were even threatening. If he does anything else to the Brahmin class, we will retaliate.
Now who's going to hurt Lord Chaitanya? In this regard, I'll revert back a little, just to show who is Lord Chaitanya. One day in Srivasangam, there was kirtan going on. And Advaitacharya, he entered into the mood of the gopis.
This is Mahaprabhu.
We usually think of Lord Advaitacharya as Mahavishnu or Sadashiva, the original form of Shiva in the spiritual world, and the original Purusha, Karunadakshayi Vishnu. But in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Sri Advaita is in the mood of gopis. And we should understand this carefully, that these are the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. It's not that Advaita is a plenary portion, is a incarnation of Mahavishnu. From one point of view, from this world, he is. But from the point of view, the perception of the spiritual world, Advaitacharya is the eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode is in Krishna Loka, the highest planet of the spiritual sky. Krishna Loka is divided into Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan, and also Navadvip. Navadvip in the spiritual world is non different than Vrindavan. Therefore, Lochandas Thakur poses this argument. Is Lord Chaitanya the source of Krishna, or is Krishna the source of Lord Chaitanya? Now, usually we say that Krishna is the source of Lord Chaitanya, because from the point of view of looking up, he is. But they're both eternally existing. It's not that at one time in the spiritual world, Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. He's eternally existing in this way. This is the inconceivable, unfathomable nature of the abode of the Lord. The material mind, conditioned by geographical limitations and seeing everything in terms of time and clocks and calendars, we can't fathom what actually eternality really means. No beginning, no end, an eternal present. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates are in Krishna Loka, performing their leelas. And Advaitacharya is one of the most dear, intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, performing the Braj Leela in Navadvip. So actually, Mahavishnu and Sadashiva are expansions of Advaita. And similarly, Haridas Thakur. From the point of view of this world, we say he's an incarnation of Lord Brahma. Because we know the story from Navadvip Mahatmya. Lord Brahma stole the calves and the little cowherd boys for 1 year, by earthly calculation, just to see who is this Gopal who killed Agasura so effortlessly. And who is this Gopal who first he kills the massive Asura Aga, who even the demigods were petrified in fear of. And I see him with these little cowherd boys, ordinary looking little cowherd boys, just playing and speaking all cowherd jokes. And Krishna's taking food right from their mouth and eating it. He's Yajnabhuk. All sacrifices are being offered to his mouth, and he's taking right from the mouth of these little gopas and eating and smiling in ecstasy. Oh, Krishna, this ladu, very nice. I have just bitten it. Please try it. Krishna, oh, yes, please give me. Brahma couldn't understand. He had to test him. But then after he tested him, Krishna, when he manifested himself as all the gopas and all the gaffs, Brahma realized that I am the greatest father and controller within this universe. And I thought I was good. I thought I was something great. But when a firefly is in darkness, he thinks he's illuminating all directions. But when the sun rises, the firefly realizes, I am insignificant. That was Brahma's realization. And he surrendered to Krishna. And he performed tapasya. He performed tapasya because he wanted to give up this big creator role and just wanted to be a humble devotee. He performed his tapasya in Navadvip. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and revealed that in your next... I am going to come into this world for a very secret purpose. I am Krishna, but I want to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love. And I want to distribute that love to the world through Harinam Kirtan. And you will be born in a family of malechas as Haridas Thakur and constantly be absorbed with all humility in chanting the names and assisting me in my mission. So he's an incarnation of Brahma. But in Sri Navadvip Dham, he's also an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. Experiencing Brajras with Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip Dham in Krishna Loka. The kirtans in Srivas Thakur were none different than the Ras Leela. So actually, Haridas Thakur, eternal associate. And he simply happened to come as this particular Lord Brahma for this purpose of revealing his eternal form as Haridas Thakur. Brahma is just a temporary form. There's no Brahmas in Vaikuntha. But Haridas Thakur is living forever in Navadvip. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his taking sannyas was to fulfill this purpose of reaching out to the people who were so proud that they escaped the net of his mercy. And such an act of compassion. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would be on the verge of tears when he would speak about this. Who could leave such a loving mother as Sachi Devi? Now for us, it wasn't so difficult to leave our mothers with all the love we have for them. But if Sachi Devi's your mother, Sachi Devi, Barsana Maharaj revealed yesterday, she was just not an ordinary woman. Lord Chaitanya revealed the truth to her that she forgot due to her yogamaya potency. She was Prishni, the mother of Prishnigarbha. She was Aditi, the mother of Vamanadev. She was Kausalya, the mother of Sri Ramchandra. She was Devaki and Yashoda, the mother of Krishna. She's the eternal mother of the Lord, Yashoda, in the spiritual world. She's the ultimate, complete whole of Vatsalya Ras, just as Srimati Radharani is the summum bonum of conjugal ras. Yashoda Mai is the summum bonum of Vatsalya Ras. All Vatsalya Ras is ultimately emanating from her. How to give up such a mother who's helpless, who's going to be brokenhearted? And Vishnu Priya was goddess of fortune, more beautiful than anyone on in the entire universe. And so pleasing. Vishnupriya, her life was a total sacrifice of service for the pleasure of Gauranga. She had no other thought ever in her heart except what will please Vishwambar. Nothing else. Can you imagine having a wife like that? Never disobedient? Never do anything except please you and serve you? 24 hours a day, willing to die 1 billion times a second to give you even 1 second of pleasure? How to give up such a wife and mother? And his friends in Mavadweep, Srivasangam? Why? Because as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his compassion was a prominent feature. He was willing to renounce anything to give the people who were envious of him the highest pleasure of Krishna Prem. No one is so compassionate. The people who were blaspheming him, the people who were threatening to beat him, he gave up everything that no one else can give up to give those people his mercy. That is Lord Chaitanya. He is a supreme controller. So, Advaitacharya was dancing in the mood of a gopi in separation from Krishna. He was rolling and rolling and rolling in the courtyard like anything. And he was weeping and crying for 3 hours. And Srivas Thakur and the others somehow or other made him composed. And after he sat quietly, they went to take bath in Ganga. And while they were in Ganga, again Advaitacharya entered into the mood of gopis and started rolling on the ground crying. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his own house, the house of Sachidevi. But he understood Advaita's heart. Because the Lord, wherever he is, he knows the heart of his devotee. So he came to Srivasangam. And he took Advaita by the hand and brought him into the temple room. And he asked Sri Advaita Prabhu, "What benediction can I give you?" And Sri Advaita Prabhu, with folded hands, tears in his eyes, he prayed, "You have fulfilled my every desire. You have descended into this world to give your mercy to the fallen souls. And now you are standing before me. My only desire is please accept me as your servant eternally. That's all. I have no other desire." Lord Chaitanya said, "I have already given you that benediction. Ask for something else." So Advaitacharya revealed his heart. What Arjuna saw while sitting in his chariot in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. "Please let me see that." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. Suddenly, Advaitacharya saw himself sitting on a chariot. And then he saw 2 massive armies of millions of soldiers fighting with one another. He was looking around at this. And then he saw the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has manifested his forearm form. And then he saw Lord Chaitanya manifest Virat Rupa, the universal form. He saw in the body of the Lord the sun and the moon and all the Himalayan mountains, and he saw all the oceans of the whole world. He saw unlimited heads, unlimited hands, unlimited mouths. And what Advaita saw was something very instructive. He saw all those who blaspheme Vaishnavas being devoured by those flaming mouths. Hare Krishna. Sri Advaitacharya was in great awe and reverence. With folded hands, he started offering prayers to the Virat Rupa. And just at that time, Nityananda Prabhu was roaming throughout Navadvip. And because Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya, although they are two bodies, their heart is like one. That is the intimacy of their love. So Nityananda Prabhu was thinking in his mind that just at this moment, Lord Chaitanya is showing his Virat Rupa to Advaita Prabhu, I'm going. So he came, but the doors were locked. So he knocked on, he didn't even knock, he just came and stood at the door, and Lord Chaitanya opened the door and said, please come in. And Nityananda Prabhu came in, stood next to Advaita Prabhu, and there was the universal form. Devouring, unlimited mouths, devouring unlimited blasphemers. Unlimited hands, unlimited legs, unbelievable form. They were in ecstasy, offering their prayers. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was dancing as the universal form was manifested. He was dancing in kirtan in ecstasy. And then the whole scene disappeared, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu, all they could do was embrace one another and dance together in ecstasy. What they have just seen. Then Advaitacharya, in his loving humor, he turned to Nitai and said, who invited you to come? He was showing the universal form to me. It was a private audience. Who invited you to come here? Nobody knows what your caste is. Nobody knows who your parents are. You appear like a sannyasi, but you associate with all crazy people. Who? And Nityananda Prabhu, to reciprocate with his humor, he said that if you don't stop speaking like this, this fist is going to enter into your face. And no one will blame me. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, in this relation, he says, when Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita have these apparent fights, it is simply an expression of their love for each other. No one loves each other more than Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And if anyone criticizes one and takes the side of the other, that person will lose all their devotional service and suffer hellish consequences. In fact, Chaitanya Bhagavat extends that principle where if two exalted Vaishnavas are having argument or fight amongst each other, we should be very neutral. We should be on both sides. Because if you take sides with one against the other, your devotional life will be crippled by that offense. Hare Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wasn't afraid of those little students who said, we're going to beat him with sticks next time he disrespects a Brahmin. He didn't take sannyas to escape from them. He already manifested his universal form. All he had to do was go, they were finished. But those very people who were insulting him, who were feeling animosity toward him, who were threatening him, he gave up everything in the world to give them bhakti. Chasing after the conditioned souls with love of God. But also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to manifest that supreme renunciation of the gopis. And that is why after he took sannyas, he made his base in Jagannath Puri. Because Jagannath Puri is the place of Ratha Yatra. And what is Ratha Yatra? The place where the ultimate experience of Radharani's feelings of separation for Krishna were manifested. When Krishna came to Kurukshetra and Srimati Radharani was standing before him after so many long years of weeping and separation. But now to see him with a crown instead of a peacock feather, with royal armor instead of a Vajayanti mala, with chariots and horses and elephants instead of cows, in Kurukshetra instead of on the bank of the Yamuna in a Kadamba forest, surrounded by mighty soldiers and royal queens instead of simple gopas. Come back to Vrindavan. That was her mood, begging Krishna, please come back to Vrindavan. I am not even feeling a single drop of pleasure seeing you here compared to the ocean of pleasure when you are Shamsundar in Braj. Please come back. And the ecstasy of their love within their hearts, they brought him back to Vrindavan in these chariots. That is Ratha Yatra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, let me die in Kurukshetra. Because where there's the greatest need, there's the greatest service. And there's nowhere that my Radharani is in greater need than in Kurukshetra. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas to spread the glories of the holy name all over the world, to fulfill his external purposes, but also to experience the deepest sentiments of Radharani's love. And that is the last 18 years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela was only that. Especially the last 12 years in the Gambira, surrounded by Lalita Sakhi and Vishaka Sakhi in the form of Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. He simply immersed himself in tasting the sweetness of Radharani's ecstatic love. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas is so deeply significant. And he made his base in Jagannath Puri. First he was running to Vrindavan. After Keshav Bharati gave him the mantra, he gave him the name. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Chaitanya means consciousness. Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada named his movement after Lord Chaitanya. The International Society for Lord Chaitanya. The International Society for Krishna Chaitanya, which in English is Krishna Consciousness. That's why the international headquarters is in Mayapur. So he gave, because you are going to give the consciousness of Krishna to the world, I give you this name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And Sri is Radharani. Sri Krishna means Radha Krishna. He's giving conscious of Radha and Krishna to the whole world. So he started running to Vrindavan after taking sannyas. And Keshav Bharati he renounced his ashram and came with him. But Mahaprabhu sent him back. And Nityananda Prabhu, knowing the heart of heart of the Lord, even though he wanted to relish Vrindavan forever, he He knew that ultimately Lord Chaitanya wants to please his devotees, and he's willing to forsake anything for his devotees. Nityananda Prabhu knew the innermost core of Lord Chaitanya's heart. Therefore, he tricked Lord Chaitanya and brought him to Shantipur, where Sachimata was brought on a palanquin. And Sachimata, meeting with all the devotees, begged Lord Chaitanya, "Do not go to Vrindavan." Sachimata spoke just what Lord Chaitanya, just what he wanted in his heart, just what his mission was, to go to Jagannath Puri. And it describes that on his way, so many wonderful events took place with Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dutt, Damodar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit. They traveled to the Kirchor Gopinath temple, where they tasted the sweetness of Madhavendra Puri's pastimes. And they went to Shakshi Gopal temple, where Nityananda Prabhu told the story of Shakshi Gopal. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then at the, what is it, Dandabhangi, the river, Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya said, "Hold this danda while I take my bath." He just went to visit what, Kapoteshwar Mahadev, and then he went to take his bath. And Nityananda looked at the danda. He started talking to the danda. He said, "My Lord should not be holding you, this especially Ekadanda." Broke it in three places, made it a tridanda, and then threw it in the river. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after asking for his danda back, he was very much disturbed with Nityananda, externally, but internally he was most pleased. He said, "I will not travel with you, I will go alone." And as he was going, when he saw the chakra, the first glimpse of the chakra on top of Jagannath's temple, he became ecstatic. In Srimati Radharani's love, he was so eager to see Jagannath Krishna. His heart was soaring, running, as his limbs were walking very quickly. He crossed that famous bridge, and when he finally came, as he was walking, his anticipation, his eagerness to see the Lord was growing thousands of times over at every moment. And when he entered into Jagannath's temple and he saw the form of Jagannath, he couldn't control himself. He ran to Jagannath in a trance of love to embrace him. But right when he came before Lord Jagannath's feet, his ecstasy went to such a culmination that he fell unconscious. And the guards were about to just throw him out. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who happened to be the guru of the king, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar on earth. He was born in Navadvip. And you know the story. Navadvip had mastered five of the six systems or schools of knowledge at the time, except Nayaka. Yes? Is that the word? Nyaya, that's right, Nyaya. Except for Nyaya. There was only one place in the world you can study that, and that was in Mithila, because they had the only scripture, and they were very possessive about it. They would teach you, but they would not make any copies of that scripture for anyone. That way, if you wanted to learn Nyaya, you had to learn from the pundits of Mithila. And you couldn't really be a teacher because you didn't have the book. So what made Navadvip the ultimate school of learning in the world?
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
He went to Mithila, he studied Nyaya, and he memorized the entire scripture. Big scripture. He memorized it all. And then he goes back to Navadvip and writes it all down. Now Navadvip has every school of knowledge. There was no one else. And at Vidyanagar, where his school was, it was the most highly esteemed school in the world for study of the Shastra. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the Acharya. King Prataparudra was so much impressed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, not only his knowledge, but his personality. He was so cultured. He was such a perfect human being as far as a gentleman, humble, kind, magnanimous. He just had all good qualities. Very attractive person. He only had one problem. He was a Mayavadi. Because he learned all the Shastras from Shankaracharya's school. And he interpreted everything according to Shankaracharya's Siddhanta. He was the topmost scholar of Shankar philosophy on the planet. Even though he was a grihastha, sannyasis used to sit at his feet to learn from him. So King Prataparudra asked him to come to Orissa, to Basin Jagannath Puri, to be his guru, and to be the guru of the teacher of the kingdom. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left Sri Navadvip Dham and went to Puri. He left before Lord Chaitanya was even born on Gaur Purnima. So Lord Chaitanya had never met him, but he heard his glories. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw Lord Chaitanya, and he, being a very great scholar of Shastra, he examined him and took note that there apparently is no sign of life in this beautiful sannyasi's body. But he put some cotton swab near his nose, and the finest threads of that cotton slightly moved, and he understood he is in transcendental ecstasy, the highest type of ecstasy. So he was carried home. And I'm going to summarize. But according to the Shastras, he did all the remedies and chanted all the mantras and did all the procedures to bring a person to external consciousness, but nothing worked. But then Nityananda Prabhu and his companions, they came to Jagannath Temple. Nityananda, when he saw Jagannath, practically fell unconscious. But they met at the temple Gopinathacharya, who happened to be brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma. And immediately he brought them to Sarvabhauma's house. And those devotees made a circle around Lord Gauranga and right into his ears. Now, to bring Lord Chaitanya to external consciousness when he was in these ecstasies of being totally absorbed in the leelas of Vrindavan, you couldn't chant japa next to him and bring him out. They had to very, very loudly, with all the power of their strength, they chanted the holy names. He definitely would not have heard that. Please try again. keep practicing, keep practicing. So, Mahaprabhu came out of his consciousness of internal ecstasy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he really developed a love for Lord Chaitanya, like a father. Because he was older than Jagannath Mishra. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya really felt that, he said to Lord Chaitanya, "This, you have taken sannyasa at such a young age, you're only 24 years old. And your bodily features are more beautiful than Kamadev, Cupid. How are you going to maintain your vows? So youthful and so handsome? This is amazing. The only way it is possible is you must be fixed in the knowledge of Vedanta. You must always have the sharp intelligence to discriminate between matter and spirit, between illusion and reality. Otherwise, you'll be a victim of Maya." And he was also thinking of elevating Lord Chaitanya to a higher sampradaya of sannyasis. Gopinathacharya said, "What is this nonsense? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need you to elevate him." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's student said, "Where does the Lord is Tri Yuga? The Lord appears in three yugas. Where does it say he appears in Kali Yuga? Why are you saying he's the Supreme Lord? Show us in the scripture." And Gopinathacharya quoted from Prahlad Maharaj, Chana Avatar. "In Kali Yuga, he is a hidden incarnation, but it is revealed in the Shastras." And he quoted so many scriptures to establish Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Because your heart is like a dry rice cake, you cannot understand these things." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "We're just having a friendly discussion. Don't get so angry at me." But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the most wonderful thing. He corrected Gopinathacharya. He said, "Don't criticize him. He loves me like a father. He wants to serve me. He wants to protect me." And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered to teach Vedanta to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya very humbly and very affectionately agreed. He was grateful. Lord Chaitanya was grateful that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was going to take the time to teach him Vedanta out of affection. So they sat in Jagannath's temple all day, every day, for 7 days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained everything in such complex, intricate detail according to Shankaracharya's theory. And at the end of 7 days, Lord Chaitanya didn't fall asleep. He was wide awake. Now, any of the rest of us, we would have probably been very much sleeping listening to Mayavad philosophy for 7 days. Lord Chaitanya was very polite. He sat, he listened. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after a week passed, he said, "You have not spoken a word the whole week. You have not asked a single question. I do not know whether you understand the subject or not." And the Lord replied, "Understanding Vedanta Sutra is very simple. The Vedanta Sutra's real meaning is self-evident, like the sun at noon. But your interpretation is like a dark cloud that completely obscures all the real meaning of Vedanta." He said that to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a gentleman. He said, If you have a better meaning, then you tell me. Lord Chaitanya did. He explained the whole system of Vedanta without even touching one of the analogies or one of the conclusions of Shankaracharya. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard that, he was struck with wonder. Then Lord Chaitanya asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to explain the Atmarama verse. And after hearing it, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the Atmarama verse. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after hearing that, he came to the realized conclusion that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one else could have such knowledge. And then he felt so guilty. He was begging Lord Chaitanya to forgive him for his offenses of considering him an ordinary being. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya humbled himself in his heart of heart. Humbled himself. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya felt within his heart to be lower than a straw in the street. And in this spirit, with folded palms, he surrendered his heart to Lord Chaitanya. And to reciprocate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his forearm form. And then revealed his threefold vending form of Tribhanga Shamsundar playing his flute. And according to Chaitanya Mangal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the Sadbhuja, the six-arm form. Two of his arms were holding the bow and arrow of Sri Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath and Kausalya. Two of his arms were playing on the flute of Gopinath, the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And two of his arms were holding the danda and kamandalu of Lord Gauranga, the son of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted in ecstasy. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought him to consciousness, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right there on the spot, composed 100 verses. Beautiful verses glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his true identity and his mission in this world. Lord Chaitanya, he explains in one verse, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshashtame Ka Purushapura, that the Lord has come to establish renunciation, knowledge, and pure devotional service. Krishna has come in this beautiful form to establish the highest principles of pure devotional service in this world. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then surrendered his life. He immediately became one of the foremost intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, one morning Lord Chaitanya came from Jagannath Temple very early, and he heard from outside the door that just as Sarvabhauma was waking up, he cried out, "Krishna, Krishna." And then Lord Chaitanya came in and gave him prasad. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately ate the prasad, Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya said, "You are the topmost Brahman. You didn't wash your mouth, you didn't chant mantra, you didn't do anything, you just ate. That's not Brahminical standards." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quoted a verse that Mahaprasad is the mercy of Krishna, even if it's stale, even if it comes from a different, distant place. As soon as Mahaprasad comes to us, we should immediately honor it and eat it. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He said, "Today my mission has culminated in great success because a hard-hearted, dry logician like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has understood the glories of Krishna's prasad. This is a major part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, prasad. Sachimata's prasad, Advaitacharya's prasad, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's prasad, so many prasad stories, yes? And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes into great detail, Raghava Pandit's bags with Damayanti, what they would cook. And Srila Prabhupada said that because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could describe so succinctly the ingredients in every preparation, this shows that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was also an expert cook. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed that one verse, Tate Nukapam Sasamikshamano, one of Prabhupada's favorites. That one who is in a terrible suffering condition and with folded palms offers obeisances to Krishna with a grateful heart, that person alone is the rightful heir to the perfection of liberation. Mukti Padeya Sadayabhak. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya read his editorial of that verse. He changed Mukti Pade to Bhakti Pade. Lord Chaitanya said, how are you changing the words of Srimad Bhagavatam? He said, after meeting you, my life has changed. Previously, my whole goal of life, everything was centered around Mukti. But now that I have tasted Bhakti, the word Mukti, it's abominable. I can't tolerate it. Lord Chaitanya said, you should understand, bhakti is the supreme perfection of mukti. The highest mukti is bhakti. So mukti is bhakti in this verse. So leave it as it is. He said, I will leave it, but I don't like it. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya four-arm form, two-arm form of Krishna and the Sadbhuja. And then Lord Chaitanya announced to his devotees that he's going on a journey to South India. Everyone wanted to go with him. But he said, no, I will not take any of you. Because Nityananda, I'm a sannyasi. You say you're going to be my servant? What kind of servant? You break my danda? What kind of servant? I'm going to Vrindavan. You take me to Shantipur, the opposite direction. Damodar Pandit, stand like a stick. Chastise. You're brahmachari. I'm sannyasi. You chastise me if you don't like what I do. Jagadananda Pandit. If he does, he tries to give me sense gratification. If I don't take it, he fasts. And Mukunda, he doesn't say anything when I do austerities. He just cries. And when I see his pain, I cry. So I am going myself. But they gave him Kal Krishna Das, who was kind of a new man, to be his personal assistant. Because after all, you have to chant on your beads and you have to count your rounds. That takes two hands. And you also have to carry your extra clothes and your kamandalus. So you need someone to carry. So he agreed. But when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard that Lord Chaitanya was leaving, oh, it was like a thunderbolt in his soft heart. My whole life I have been without. And now finally I have attained real bhakti. I've given my heart to you. How can you leave? But if you must leave, you are the supreme independent personality of Godhead. I have only one benediction I beg from you. When you reach the river Godavari, there is the city of Vidyanagar. And the governor of that province is Ramananda Rai. Previously, because I was Mayavadi, I could not appreciate his ecstatic devotion. But now that I have received your mercy, I understand that Srila Ramananda Rai, he has realized the topmost limits of ecstatic love. And he's a very reservoir of transcendental knowledge of the mellows of bhakti. You will find great pleasure, and he will find great pleasure when you meet together. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed. It was while he was in Alalanath where he saw that beautiful deity of Vishnu. Thousands of people from all the local villages came, and they all were dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And it was at that time that Nityananda Prabhu made that famous prediction. After seeing Lord Chaitanya's power of inducing thousands of people to Krishna Nam and Krishna Prem, he predicted, in every town and village, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread Krishna Prem and Krishna Nam. So Lord Chaitanya visited Kurmakshetra, where he met Vasudev the leper and the Kurma Brahman. And then he went to Jiyada Narasingha in Vishakhapatnam, Singhachalam it is called. And there he worshipped Lord Narasingadev. From there he went to Mangalagiri. Between Singhachalam and Mangalagiri, he went to the banks of Godavari on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's direction. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Godavari, he saw the river Yamuna. And the forests around Godavari, he was seeing Sri Vrindavan Dham. He took his bath in ecstasy. Then he crossed the river to the other side and sat. Just then, there was a very regal procession. There was instruments being played, and there were many, many Brahmins chanting Vedic mantras. And on a palanquin was carried a very, very magnificent man, Ramananda Rai, the governor, the representative of the king. He came down from his palanquin and took his ceremonial bath in Godavari. And Lord Chaitanya was just sitting on the side in the forest. In his heart, he was running to embrace Ramananda Rai. But for the sake of etiquette, he maintained his patience. When Ramananda Rai finished his bath, he saw this most beautiful effulgent form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And when they met, Lord Chaitanya asked if he was Ramananda Rai. And he said, "I am only a lowly sudra. I am only the most fallen lowly sudra, and I am your servant." And he was speaking from his heart. And they embraced. And when they embraced, ecstatic symptoms manifested in their hearts. Because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the love of Sri Radha. And Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi. One of the most intimate, loving associates of Srimati Radharani. An expansion of her own self. And it was their reunion in this Leela. Tears were pouring from their eyes, their hairs were standing on end, they couldn't even speak. They were falling unconscious and getting up again, and then they saw these Brahmins who were smarta Brahmins. They couldn't understand. Why is this sannyasi embracing a Shudra? And why is this royal government official embracing a beggar sannyasi? It just didn't make sense to them. So they composed themselves. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he expressed how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, due to his loving kindness to me, he has sent me to see you, who is the very personification of pure devotion. And Ramananda Rai, in his humility, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, out of his causeless mercy upon me, knew that no one else can deliver such a fallen soul except yourself. So he has sent you. So beautiful. They had a wonderful, they decided to meet that night. And every night they were meeting, discussing the evolution of transcendental realization of the Absolute Truth. Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Rai questions, and Ramananda Rai was revealing higher and higher and higher topics, which culminated in the love between Radha and Krishna. That all took place the first day, and all the rest of the days, this was the only topic, the ecstatic loving mellows between Radha and Krishna. Ramananda Rai said, actually, I am not speaking. You are speaking. I am like a stringed instrument, and you are the musician making my tongue vibrate. Just like a cloud takes water from the ocean and then pours it back on the ocean. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, not like that. I am just a Mayavadi philosopher floating in the ocean of Mayavad. But you have come to deliver me and give me Krishna Bhakti. So this is one of the most greatest moments of history in our Gaudiya Vaishnav history. The talk between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the culmination of their talks, Sri Ramananda Rai witnessed with his own eyes the most extraordinary transcendental leela. Ramananda Rai said, first I was seeing you as a sannyasi. And now I'm seeing you as Shyam Sundar. I see you have a beautiful complexion, like a monsoon rain cloud. And you are a simple cowherd boy. But now I'm seeing you appear as a golden doll. And your beautiful blackish form of Shyam Sundar is hidden by the golden luster of this form. Seeing this, Ramananda Rai fell back onto the ground, unconscious. Lord Chaitanya touched his hand and he came back to consciousness. Ramananda Rai could understand exactly who Lord Chaitanya really was. You are Krishna, who has appeared to understand the glory of Radharani's love. You are Krishna, who has come to experience the wonderful qualities in yourself that is only relished in its fullness by Radharani's love. You are Krishna, who has come to taste the happiness that Radharani feels when she realizes the sweetness of your love. The internal reasons of Lord Chaitanya's advent were fully manifested before the eyes of Ramananda Rai. And what did he see? Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj quotes from the Goswamis and the great Acharyas what he actually saw. He saw Krishna, who had Srimati Radharani's love. That means Radharani's heart. And he saw Krishna going deep inside Radharani's heart, to the deepest and deepest and deepest chambers of her heart, to taste the essence of her love. When Krishna entered deep into Radharani's heart and he tasted that love, his complexion became gold, just like Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna is tasting the sweetness of Radha's love. Krishna is entering into this core of the heart of Sri Radharani to taste the sweetness of that love, and being so intoxicated, his whole body becomes golden. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Rai, "No one has ever seen what you have just seen. Please do not reveal this to anyone." Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his temples, he manifested this highest revelation of Krishna. There is Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. This is the darshan of Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai saw that, according to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Srimati Radharani's love is the supreme. Krishna wanted to taste the love of his devotee. Krishna wanted to see what the wonderful qualities in himself that his devotee relish. He wanted to taste the happiness of the devotees tasting his love. And because Srimati Radharani is the ultimate supreme devotee, Krishna entered into the core of her heart and became Lord Chaitanya. But he did it in such a way as the Odarya Swarup. He was an embodiment of magnanimity and compassion. He first stole the love of Srimati Radharani and then distributed that love to the world. This is the uniqueness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over every other incarnation. Other avatars can give love for himself, but Lord Chaitanya is going in and taking Radharani's supreme love for himself and distributing that, the nature of her love. So when Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurattvesye Namaha, when we understand it with depth, it is profound. Profound. The gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's treasure. As Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami declares, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to garland the entire universe with the mala of Krishna Prem through Krishna Nam. And where is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra derived? When Krishna goes into Srimati Radharani's heart and plunders her love and distributes it to the world, it manifested as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why? Because in Goloka Vrindavan, Sri Radharani and her sakis and mandaris and gopis, they are eternally chanting this mantra. This Maha Mantra is eternally chanted by the gopis of Vrindavan. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It is not just that this mantra has descended from Goloka, but Krishna took this mantra from Srimati Radharani's heart and distributed it to the world. The gratitude, the appreciation we should have. But most important, we have gotten this precious gift. How rare. Why should we waste our time when we have received this? Why should we waste our time pursuing the vain pleasures of the senses and the mind? Nayam deho deha bhajam na loke. All that stuff is available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. Why should we pursue that after receiving the gift of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme ultimate gift that's not even available in Vaikuntha? So let us fall millions of times every second within our heart at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and thank him for the gift that he has given us. And not waste moments. There's only a few years to live we have in this human life. Why not totally pursue, even if it means forsaking some things for some time that we ordinarily like? What is the loss? We have everything to gain and nothing to lose by surrendering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Thank you very much. I have just given a brief introduction to Kavichandra Swami and Barsana Swami Maharaj, who will now speak to us. There's no time limit today. Kavichandra Maharaj, you can speak first, please.
I was one place last Kartik time where I could get the internet radio and I was listening to the Radha Gopinath temple radio, which was one class after another. And I was thinking how I'll never give another class. I'll never speak again in the face of such eloquence. But I don't know why, but we keep trying. But yesterday we heard about Jagai and Madai. So I was thinking that this, there's more, you know, there's a great, just to show how astounding is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that Yamaraj, he has a secretary named Chitragupta, who has a staff, and they keep track of sinful activities, keeping a record. So he asked about Jagai and Madai. And this Chitragupta was complaining that these two are so sinful that so many secretaries are, they can't keep up to keep track of all their sinful activities. And the papers are piling up or they're filling up a pit. And they were complaining that these two are unlimitedly sinful. There's no way to deal with it. Can't even keep track of their sins. So when Yamaraj heard, then he got on his chariot and he went to the Navadvip. And when he saw that Jagai and Madai, you know, had become, they were chanting and dancing in ecstasy. He fell unconscious, just crashed down like dead. Right? And then the demigods were all there. I don't know if the demigods were manifest to everyone else or that was their own invisible Leela. Which was it? Anyway, they started a kirtan. Indra and everybody started a big kirtan to revive Yamaraj. And he jumped up and started dancing in ecstasy and falling down and rolling on the ground and breaking his crowns and his necklaces. This was the astounding, you know, even Yamaraj couldn't believe that Jagai and Madai, you know, could be freed from all their sinful reactions and become not only that, not just, you know, given some pardon or something, but become great devotees. They were dancing. The kirtan was such that it was like this, do they have that here? They call mosh in the rock and roll kirtans. When they smash into each other, the dancers, and so that everybody was running and smashing. Even Jagai and Madai would bump into Lord Chaitanya, bump into Lord Nityananda, but everybody was in ecstasy. Nobody was at all concerned for any kind of normal etiquette or good behavior. Then Lord Chaitanya, this is before that, he turned black color and said he'd absorbed all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai. He asked Advaita, "How do I look?" And he said, "You look like Krishna." Then he said, "Now we'll have the kirtan and I will transfer, you know, all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai to those who blaspheme the devotees, those who criticize devotees." So there was an amazing kirtan. And he told the devotees then afterward that after he again regained his golden complexion, he said all these sinful reactions have been transferred to those who blaspheme the devotees, those who criticize the Vaishnavas. And then he said that no one should ever mention or even think about the previous sinful activities of Jagai and Madai. Now they are devotees, right? They've become great devotees and there's no consideration. So we heard how Prabhupada was, Shyamasundara Prabhu was speaking so nicely at those inconceivable times, and how he just accepted everyone and never considered anything except that they were willing to chant the holy name. If anyone was willing to chant the holy name, then Prabhupada was very happy. I know one god brother that he had somehow ended up in a Gaudiya ashram. And he said they wouldn't, you know, let him touch the mridanga, because he has come from Lecha background. If he would go near the kitchen, they would, you know, do a whole puja, clean everything. But Prabhupada never, you know, considered any of those things. He had the full realization from Lord Chaitanya that anyone who will take to chanting the holy name of the Lord will get purified. I can't speak in such, you know, exalted levels, but we've seen this happening. We see it happening still all over the world. All kinds of people. When I was in South Africa last year in Johannesburg, before the Sunday feast, one lady told me, "There's one girl here, she wants to talk to you." Sounded serious, so I said, "Well, after the feast." I thought it would be some problems. So this girl came and she said, you know, I was a drug dealer for so many years. I was a drug addict. I was living from that. And I started chanting, and I left everything. And what should I do now? I just suddenly gave it all up. Just don't have it. Only want to chant. So it was quite easy to counsel her. And I just said, just keep chanting and Krishna will help you. She said, that's what I thought. So we see the power. It's happening. Lord Chaitanya did it. He chanted anywhere and everywhere. He was criticized by the brahmanas, you know, for allowing low-class people to chant. They actually thought that the holy name could become contaminated. Their knowledge of Krishna was so small that they're thinking that that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Pure, as Pariyagat Chukram, Akayam Avrinam, Ashnaviram Shudam, Apapavidam, that Krishna can't be contaminated by any association. Nor can, not only that, but anything that comes in contact with him will be purified. And he's given that mercy then to this Kali Yuga. We were hearing about Kali Yuga. I lost track if it was last night. It's Kalir Dosha. It is so much, all these diseases, all these things that are going on, no one could have imagined. When it was stated just at the end of Dwarpa Yuga that Indian people would be eating, you know, killing cows, and they couldn't believe that. It's inconceivable. But now it's just considered, you know, like all these. I saw one rock and roll album once. It was called What Used to Be Vices Are Now Virtues. That was the title. It's Kali Yuga. You know, what used to be considered very sinful is now considered very nice. We go in London and Soho area. It's quite well known for various sinful activities. So 100 years ago, it was illegal to be homosexual. But now it's illegal to criticize a homosexual. But they also like the kirtan very much, all their drunkenness. And next to the temple, there's a bar that specializes. And the owner gives very nice donations to the... He bought some sets of books. He gives for sweets for Janmashtami. They're getting purified. Everyone is getting purified by this chanting of the holy name. And it is stunning to even Yamaraj. And it's shocking to the demons who are seeing it also, like we're seeing in Moscow. They're afraid. People are afraid that the Hare Krishnas can have a venue, a way to spread the holy name, you know, to bring people in. They're thinking, you know, I remember when I joined that we used to get this question all the time. What would happen if everybody became a Hare Krishna? We'd say, well, that would be very good. Because they thought, well, if everybody's a Hare Krishna, everyone will have a shaved head, no one will work, and how will we live? And still many people think that. When I was in Chicago, we were distributing books, and there was one policeman there that used to, he was undercover, and he used to like to harass us, especially he liked to harass me. And he would stand behind me and say, don't take that book, you know, he's Hare Krishna. And then I would joke with him and, you know, try to keep the people from getting too bewildered. So one day I saw him downstairs in a restaurant. So I said, hi, Joe, how you doing? And his friend started shouting, get out of here, go away, I don't want to see your face. So I said, what's wrong? He said, you know, this is my bar here, this is my restaurant. I live by selling meat and whiskey, and you people are against that. And Prabhupada said that's why they're against us. You know, but we know better that this is, everyone can live much better if they're Krishna conscious. We can, there can be so many, like we hear, so many leelas are unlimited. And they're all ever fresh and ever new. It's not the same old thing. We can hear about Lord Chaitanya's leela again and again and again. And every time we hear it, we hear something we didn't hear before. Bhagavad Gita even, every time we read it, it's ever fresh. It's Krishna. Nitya Navana Yovanam. It's always like something new. And because it is something new. In the spiritual world, they're doing the same things, but it always seems like the first time they ever did it. Just like we have kirtan, our Jayananda Prabhu. He used to always say, this was the best kirtan ever. And the devotees would say, well, you said that yesterday. He said, yes, that was also the best one. This is the best prasadam ever. Yes, the realized person. It's Krishna. It's ever fresh. Every time we chant, every time we meet a devotee, we should become joyful to see a devotee. It's one of the offenses against Vaishnava, is to not become joyful on seeing a devotee. But here it's easy to become joyful to see so many devotees, see the unlimited potencies of Lord Chaitanya's Leela still coming alive, not only in drama and theater, but just in the day-to-day activities of all the devotees, chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, offering foodstuffs to the Lord. Lord Chaitanya had so many servants. We heard that Prabhupada said that Krishnadas Kaviraj must have been a very good cook, and our cook should learn, you know, about all these preparations. So I don't know if you ever go to Panihati. Panihati, there's the house of Raghava Pandit, where Damayanti and Raghava Pandit, they were very good cooks, and they would prepare all these special sweets for Lord Chaitanya. And their descriptions are given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And she would sometimes use ginger because she was afraid that Lord Chaitanya might get indigestion from all the opulent sweets. So personal. And not consider, you know, not thinking here's a supreme universal form who can devour unlimited universes and he can eat anything, right? No, but he's the most lovable person that they love, and they're cooking so carefully. So in the house there's a little museum in the showcase with all the samples. They look like real things. They might be like preserved sweets, I don't know, because I don't think they're modern, you know, plastic ones. But all those things are there, and all these descriptions are there. Radharani is cooking. Never cooked the same thing twice. Everything was, and no, anyone who ate would never get sick. So Mother Yasoda, she wanted Radharani to cook for Krishna. Because she didn't want her, she wanted to protect her child, keep him in good health like any mother, you know, would want. So we have all this to, you know, join in, to participate. Every day we see Jagais and Madais being rescued all over the world. We always notice that when we, I don't know in India, but in other countries, when we go for Harinam Sankirtan, the drunken people often are the ones that, they like to join, you know, and follow along and imitate, but they're getting purified. And just like Jagai and Madai, they had camped somehow near the Srivasangam, so they could hear the kirtan. They didn't know what the kirtan was. They could hear the music, And they were speculating, maybe it's some Durga Puja, there's a wedding party, and maybe it's some drunken, crazy people. But it's nice music. And they would dance. So that's how they got a little purified. They were appreciating. So if anyone even appreciates, that's why we like to get out. We like to get this kirtan party out. How it's revealed. We were just in Mayapur. So when there's a place called Rudradweep. Rudradweep is where Bel Kapoor is. And so that's where Shankaracharya came there, but Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said, don't come here. These people are nice devotees and they don't really need your Mayavadi philosophy. The Mayavadi philosophy is for other, you know, materialistic people. But Bhaktivinod Thakur, he had a vision there. He saw a huge kirtan party, Lord Chaitanya and all his associates in the ecstatic kirtan. We get some idea here, but and then it turned into the Rasa Lila of Krishna. So he saw that this kirtan of Lord Chaitanya, the Rasa Lila, we have a picture in Chaitanya Charitamrita like that. The same eternal associates of Krishna came from Goloka. And in Goloka there's both Navadvipa and Braj. And there's no difference. This is all inconceivable. I heard Radhana Swami yesterday explaining this Achintya Beda Veda Tattva. How else can we understand anything? All these things they're not conceivable. The scientists, the biggest quantum physicists or whatever it is now that's supposed to be the most advanced science, they don't know anything and they admit it. I heard there's one, what is it, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle? Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. They're not sure about that anymore, even. They don't know anything. They admit it. But then still they present, you know, you have to believe everything they say. So if they hear about Krishna, that he's unlimited and he's the smallest and he's the biggest, they can't deal with that. You know, they can't deal with any of these things. The soul, you know, the mind even. The more they're trying to study the mind, and they're understanding that they can't find it. They don't know where it is. It's too big. There's no place that the mind is. You know, they used to think it's the brain doing everything, but it's the soul. One of the things that they can't understand is something like 12 things that they say science can't explain. I only remember one, is memory. They can't explain memory. Why don't they read Bhagavad Gita? How does it go? From me come remembrance. How does that go? Matak smriti ganam apohanam cha. From me come remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge. It's all the super soul. And according to one's, you know, different desires and karmas, and you know, we have different capacity to remember things, to forget things. But what we need to remember is Krishna. Some people have, you know, incredible memories. They can memorize. They could go in this room and have everybody stand up and give their name and phone number, and then afterward go around and tell everybody their name and phone number. But they can't remember Krishna at the time of death. Even I heard of one Indian man was supposed to have the world's best memory, so he'd memorize Mahabharata and Ramayana or something. But his son memorized pi to millions of digits. You know that number pi? He memorized that like millions of digits. Wasting. Remembering, you know, so many things. People are trying to remember school, just remembering, and but we want to remember Krishna. And that's by the grace of the devotees, by the grace of the spiritual master, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya. He gave us, he made it so simple, this. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! So I don't know how far away people can hear that, but Krishna can hear, you know, he hears us. All of us hear it. And if we chant enough, like we were chanting in Bali one night, the devotees got quite carried away, so we were chanting till like 11:30 at night or something. The neighbors came. They heard the kirtan so many times, but they came and said, well, that sounds so good, you know, what is it? What are you doing? And they stayed for a long time in the kirtan. But when they heard only the half-hour kirtan or something, it didn't register, you know. But the four-hour one got through to them. So we want to get the Lord Chaitanya, you know, like they said, the devotees on Gaur Purnima, they were restless sitting around the temple. They went out just to serenade Prabhupada. And then he said, now you've understood, Lord Chaitanya, you go every day. And then in San Francisco became very famous for, you know, these wonderful kirtans, wonderful Harinam with Tamal Krishna Goswami, Vishnu John Swami. The time they were new bhaktas and just joined. Then they went to Los Angeles and so many devotees were, they had many parties going out every day in the early days of Los Angeles. They had nothing else to do. But actually we have nothing else to do. We just, somehow or other, how are we going to put this in our heart enough to give it to the world where people are suffering? Ultimately, all their suffering is due to being in this material world. So we're doing whatever we can. And we want to remember Krishna. By association of devotees, we can remember Krishna. There's always somebody chanting the holy name. There's always something going on. There's always prasadam. There's many different ways to remember Krishna. We can read Bhagavad Gita. That's also Krishna. It's not something that we leave behind all the way up to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we've seen that we don't have to read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam before we can hear Gaur Lila. It's the most nectar for everybody. Lord Chaitanya came to give this, you know, to everybody. He went all over India, but he left it for Srila Prabhupada. And Vishnu John also asked, he said that Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I am leaving with my work is not finished. Why did he do that? Why would he leave? And Prabhupada said, he's Vaishnava. He could have conquered the whole world, but he left it for us. But there's much, much, much to be done. One of our guests here yesterday was asking, what about the Islamic countries? And of course, there's still a lot of restrictions, but devotees are translating books in these languages. Devotees are meeting, you know, people from all different religions. Even other religious leaders are getting influenced by the Sankirtan movement. Now there's a big Christian vegetarian movement. And they've obviously taken from the Hare Krishna preaching about that, you know, we shouldn't cause suffering to any animals and everyone is a soul and all this. This is Lord Chaitanya's leelas. It's quite inconceivable to see this temple, and especially, but all the temples. This temple in Ujjain has been maybe maximum 2 years they've been there. And right from the beginning they had hundreds and thousands of people coming every Sunday. Now they have thousands of people every day. People want to hear. They want to get the truth. Everyone wants it. Some people, it's easy to understand they want it, but everyone wants truth. Everyone wants happiness. It's the nature of the soul. But the mind is different. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the mind and the soul are always at odds. I said that the other day, but they're always at odds with each other because the soul is blissful. That's the quality of the soul, is bliss. So naturally everyone is seeking happiness, but they're being misled. This is Kali Yuga, so they're being misled. Kali has, you know, control over all these advertisements to tell us how we can get happiness, right? There's so many different ways where everyone is getting cheated, but they keep trying until they meet devotees, until they get the contact. And even a sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. Lord Chaitanya instructed to Sanatan Goswami that this is the perfection stated by all scriptures. Even a moment, even a lava matra is a small part of a second or something. Even that much association with the Vaishnava, with the sadhu, this is the most valuable thing. It's the perfection of all perfections. Because that can change the heart. It can change the direction of one's life. We have many, many stories in the modern time. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, so many stories of all these different types of Jagan Madai were the ultimate, but as a proof of the unlimited mercy of the Lord. But everybody that contacted Lord Chaitanya, they became ecstatic, they became dancing in ecstasy. And everyone who's contacting Srila Prabhupada's movement, Srila Prabhupada had this unlimited energy because of his ecstatic absorption in Lord Chaitanya, to be empowered to just keep going everywhere and always be blissful, always giving Krishna, and at the same time working every night to translate Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, and to empower many devotees to publish these books and now put them in so many languages and distribute them all over the world. This is, I thought of it when I read, Lord Chaitanya is talking about it, I think it's in chapter 8, that he's the gardener, right, and the tree of love of Godhead. But he needs help. He said, how can I do this myself? There's so many fruits of love of Godhead. They have to be distributed. I was always thinking those are the books, Prabhupada's books. They have to be distributed. But Prabhupada said he couldn't do it himself. He needed help. So he gathered, Krishna sent him so many helpers. Prabhupada said like that, whatever I wanted. I didn't do anything. I wanted a beautiful magazine Krishna sent people to make back to Godhead. Wanted temples, and somehow people came that could build temples. So many things. But there's unlimited fruits, and all these devotees are fruits of love of Godhead. They're fruits of Srila Prabhupada's love for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's love for us. His compassion just for the suffering of the conditioned souls, whatever kind of suffering, we want to help them. But ultimately, the cause of all our suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. If someone is purely Krishna conscious, then even the external circumstances are full of suffering. Srila Prabhupada, the doctor, said the pain must be so intense, but he never exhibited any. Recently, we heard about Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He would talk about the pain in such a detached way. It was mind-boggling. And you know, we can't imagine. We can't imagine what kind of pain. But the devotee, somehow or other, is able to, you know, identify then with the soul and understand what, you know, what everything is all about. And all these people, they're all suffering, and they're thinking, well, you know, we'll get more hospitals, more doctors, more medicine. But I meet many pharmacists, especially in London. Many of the devotees that come there are pharmacists. So I always ask them, what's the main medicine? It's always this, whatever the current antidepressant medicine is the biggest thing going. You know, we can't keep up with all of them because they always say, we have a better one. We found out that the previous one was really quite bad, but we have a better one now. And then a few weeks later, we found out that one's not very good. People are depressed. Why are they depressed? Because they think they're the body. They identify with the mind. They're identifying with this temporary nature. Everything is, you can't hang on to anything. So they need to hear this Chaitanya Lila. They need to hear something. They need to maybe just kirtan and prasad for many people in the beginning. That brings everyone. Srila Prabhupada once said, it was in Hyderabad actually, he said, don't even tell people they're not the body, just get 4 hours kirtan and prasad. They can't understand any philosophy. But even many devotees are, you know, we're like that. We need that. Everybody needs the purification, kirtan, ecstatic sound vibration, and whatever way we can. You know, Lord Chaitanya did dramas. The house of Chandrasekhar is there at the Chaitanya Mutt in Mayapur. That his house was in that spot, and that's where they did drama. Lord Chaitanya liked to do drama, and he played in the drama. So that particular one, he was Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. He costumed himself so expertly that even Sachi Mata didn't know who he was. She was wondering, who is this? Nityananda was Rukmini, right? Huh? Gopi. And they couldn't recognize him. Haridas Thakur was Narada Muni. Who?
Policeman,
keeping things awake. And Srivas was Narada Muni.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a narrator, introducing everybody. So they, and it went all night, seemed like a night of Brahma. And all kinds of very intimate pastimes were happening, and very hard to discuss. But this was entertaining everybody, this drama. Krishna Lila, Nityananda, when he was a child, he did these dramas. At a very young age, he did all the avatars, perfect dramas of all the avatars and all the different leelas of Krishna and all the different avatars, one after another. He engaged all the young boys and gave them perfect, you know, direction, like our Bhakti Marg Swami does now. In my, he gathers together all kinds of kids and somehow gets them all to act perfectly in a very short time, and everybody gets absorbed in the Krishna Leela. And the people were wondering, how can this young boy, Nitai, know all these things? He never read a book. He's a kid. He said, but what did he say? He said, this is my Leela. Of course I know. How can I not know? So this is, just like Lord Chaitanya, he was giving, you know, many times he would be telling people who he was, but they didn't understand, like Kolavecha Sridhar. He would say, why you care? Why don't you give to me? I am Gangapati. You are worshipping Ganga. What about me? I'm the father of the Ganga. And he would think, this boy is so puffed up. How can he talk like that? Later he was lamenting, how did I not recognize? you know, who this boy was. But this is the mercy of the Lord. He would have all these relationships with everybody, and sometimes they would recognize who he was. And he would say, "How did you know?" And they would say, "How could you can't cover, you know, such a thing?" But most of the time they were not in that mood. Just like the gopis, they knew so much. They knew the demigods. They knew, you know, the Vaikuntha. They knew, but they were just thinking that Krishna's, you know, the whatever, depending on their age, he's our most beautiful boy they want to marry, or other older gopis would think he's a young boy in the village. Nobody could understand Krishna. When he entered the wrestling arena, you know, the wrestler saw death personified, the yogi saw the super soul, the gopi saw the, you know, the beautiful boy of the village, the older gopi saw the just a young village boy, the Yadu saw someone, family member, all different things. And the foolish people thought he's a foolish person. And Lord Chaitanya also, you know, people couldn't understand. The Hindus, the Mayavadis, or those students, you know, they couldn't understand it. But gradually he inundated everyone in the ecstatic flood of this Sankirtan movement, and it's still going on. And many people still, they cannot understand this movement. Couldn't understand Srila Prabhupada. That people were thinking, you know, these devotees, they don't work. What will happen if everyone joins them? You know, we used to, in the airport in Chicago, in the old days when we were more or less unrestricted, there was about 12 of us in one little hallway. And we distribute many, many books, and millions of people are coming, like just floods of people. And the workers used to come up from underneath to watch. And they would say, they would ask us, you know, "How much money do you get?" They say, "We don't take any." No, how can you do? They thought, you know, we're crazy, we're intoxicated. We must be keeping all the money, otherwise why would anybody work 12 hours a day like that in such a... But they couldn't understand. And still many people can't understand. Different countries, they can't understand, you know, what is this benediction for the whole universe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And he brought with him this Sankirtan movement and broke it open, the storehouse of love of God, which was not very accessible previously. That if we just chant the holy name... I heard one devotee speaking one time how prema bhakti is so rare that practically no one can ever get it. And, you know, it's just... And I was... Somehow I thought, that's not what I heard when I joined. We always heard, like, just chant, and, you know, Prabhupada's mercy. And so I looked up in the Veda base, prema bhakti. And, you know, it's said over and over again. It's very easy. Everyone can get it. You just chant the holy name. You just recite Shishastika every day. And, of course, it has to be done with, you know, sincerity and faith and all those other things. But it's not that no one can have it. Lord Chaitanya made it for everybody, and Prabhupada made it even more easy. Prabhupada once said, "Hold on to my dhoti and I'll get you in the back door into the Goloka, into Krishna. If we stick to it." I heard yesterday, if we just chant the 16 rounds, we just follow the principles. But Prabhupada said even not everyone can do that, because chant 16 rounds attentively, when we're chanting, it's a special mercy that Krishna manifests himself. That Krishna will appear. Krishna is dancing on the tongue of the chanter. It's not that we are doing something, but somehow or other Krishna will come. And if we can be grateful that he's come and beg him to stay and somehow make our mind and heart suitable place. It's like we're always making the altar more nice, right? Always trying to make everything nicer and more nice for Krishna so that he'll stay there. We want to take care of him. We heard in Mayapur at the Jagannath temple in the beginning there was confusion because the property wasn't really signed over to us, and Jayapataka Maharaj had said, don't start the intense puja until we get everything finished. But the pujari didn't know that. So he started, you know, bringing all the bhoga from Mayapur and offering everything to Jagannath. And then he heard that he wasn't supposed to, so he stopped. And then he had a dream, and he went in the, and they weren't there. And he saw Jagannath going across the field, and he chased him, and he said, I'm going to Mayapur. You're not going to feed me here. So we want Krishna to stay, so we want to take good care of him. We want to try to be like Raghava Pandit or Damayanti and totally absorbed in, you know, how to give pleasure to Krishna. All these personalities in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many great devotees, totally absorbed in giving pleasure to Krishna, or following the order of the spiritual master, chanting the holy name in ecstasy, giving it to everyone. Sarvabhauma, you know, he used all his knowledge. All of a sudden, all his knowledge was used for glorifying Krishna and bhakti. He couldn't even stand to hear the word mukti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The great transformation took place. Of course, he was Brihaspati. It's explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that he left Navadvip because he knew that his teachings, you know, would disturb Lord Chaitanya's early pastimes. But all of us, and he shocked everyone. You know, how can this Sarvabhauma, the most dried up Mayavadi, he described himself previously was like a dried up rice cake. If anyone's a farmer, you've seen the rice cake, or the oil cake, I mean, the oil cake. You seen that? Anybody? We don't see them in the city. I saw in the Padayatra, they have this big oil cake, and they to feed the bullock. So they put this oil cake in a big water pot, tub, and they were pouring water and breaking it and pouring water, and it took so long before it became soft. So much water, so much water, so much water. Then this oil cake finally became soft because they take the beans or the corn or the grain or whatever they squeeze the oil out of, and then it's just what's left. After you take out the oil, when we eat the grain, it's the oil that tastes nice, and it's not the... So he described himself, he was like a dried up oil cake, but suddenly he became, you know, full of nectar, and all he could do is, you know, glorify bhakti and glorify the holy name. He said he just made useless sounds like bhew, bhew, but now he's just chanting the holy name, and then that influenced everybody. The power of Lord Chaitanya, just because he told him a simple thing, you know, just explained all the Vedanta just very quickly. He said, the meaning is clear, but your Mayavadi talk is just like clouds covering the sun. How can you say that? You know? And we have all that information, all this, because this Kali Yuga is all Mayavadi, everything, all the Mayavadi, Shankaracharya's work has spread everywhere, so even, you know, mainstream religions who previously were very personal or just bewildered, but Lord Chaitanya came to just annihilate all the Mayavadis and the Shunyavadis, the Buddhists, the Zero-vadis, like the Chinese and the Japanese. He's going to go to Japan, so you'll see. They have one Buddhism that's called New Buddhism, and it's also called Pure Land Buddhism. So I saw the book, and they have all the hotels, they have this book teachings of Buddha. And it was describing the land of Buddha and being with Buddha, and it sounded really nice. It sounded just like Vaikuntha in the Bhagavatam. The Buddha land, you know, everything is pure, everything is eternal, everything is nice. But then I found out that that's not the goal. The goal is beyond that. Nothing. So it sounds like they agree with us, but then, you know, they're thinking that you have to get beyond the Vaikuntha to nothing. Get beyond all the relationships. But Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada specifically put that he came for the Nirvishesha, those who think there's no variety, it's all one, everything merges into oneness, everything is always the same, the Nirvishesha, and then the Shunya bodies, the zero bodies, will become very prominent. The modern scientists are also Shunya body. They say everything came from nothing, right? Ultimately, Darwin means everything came from nothing. So all these things are being pushed back. Everyone is getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's divine energy that is spreading and not diffusing, but getting more and more powerful. The more people chant, the more it's getting increased. The more people get the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. People in America now, young people are asking the Sankirtan devotees, do you have Bhagavad Gita? What's next? You know, what else do you have? I read the Bhagavad Gita. You know, it changed my life. So many people. We have no idea how many people are, you know, caught up in this. Even in 1975, the Gallup poll, they did a poll in America. What's your religion? And somehow they concluded that there was 500,000 Hare Krishnas. I don't know where they are. And Hare Krishna was a write-in, you know, it wasn't one of the check marks. It was like other, and you have to write it in. But they calculated by how many people they interviewed and how many people said it. But we have no idea how many people have books and, you know, are thinking this is my thing. But they need to meet devotees. Lord Chaitanya went everywhere. He sent Nityananda to Bengal with all his, and he took whoever he wanted. And they went all over Bengal with the Sankirtan party, establishing temples and chanting the holy name and giving Krishna to everyone. And he's left the world for us. And there's a lot of the world left where either very few devotees have ever gone or no devotees have ever gone, a few places. But there's many places where there's practically unheard of, unless they see it on television or something. Sometimes the devotees get on the CNN, or they see the Mahabharata. But we have a great legacy Srila Prabhupada gave us. And it's not just for his immediate disciples. It's for years and years and thousands of years, or 10,000 years or more to come, that Lord Chaitanya is available. The deity of Lord Chaitanya is more and more appearing all over the world and being worshipped. The holy name is everywhere. Even Mayavadis are chanting. Now in Los Angeles, in the Sura Prabhu has a temple, Bhajan Band, they go to all the yoga schools. They pay them to come and chant. Many of them, they're basically Mayavadi, but they love the kirtan. And we heard Indradhanu Swami, they went to one big yoga ashram, and he was thinking, well, what to say? Then they had kirtan. It went for 2 hours. All the yogis were dancing in ecstasy. And afterwards, one lady said, now I know what yoga really is. This is going on everywhere. At first they took it up because, you know, people that were studying yoga, they heard about the Maha Mantra. So they had to say, yes, we have the Maha Mantra also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Gauranga, the name of Lord Chaitanya, has become very, very famous. There's one video game that was the most popular video game. It's also criticized for being full of all kinds of unmentionable things. But in this game, if you would, with your stolen car, hit a Hare Krishna, it would say, Gauranga. So the people are playing this game and they're saying, Gauranga! Gauranga! And I know two devotees who came because of that. They were addicted to that game and they chanted Gauranga so many times. And it was in Scotland, two boys that they had been approached by the devotees so many times that they got frustrated about Gauranga. But now they apologized and they've rewritten the game and the Hare Krishnas are the good guys now. And they've become purified also. So in so many ways, this movement is reaching out, you know, capturing more and more people. But we want people to be able to come to the temples. We want centers everywhere. We want Harinam Kirtan parties everywhere. And we were very famous in the 70s because in New York, the devotees were chanting all day long. Several groups, Los Angeles. So people knew Hare Krishna. They were very famous. Now they're saying, where have you been? What happened? They still remember, though. When they see devotees, they become happy. So we have this great mission. And here we're very fortunate. We hear so much Chaitanya Leela from His Holiness Radhana Swami and His Holiness Varshana Swami. I think they were the first two to really dig into it. Somehow or other, even in New Vrindavan, they got books and spent time just constantly discussing. But there's no limit to this. There's the Vrindavan Das Thakur was a Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Leela. And it said that more and more will come and reveal more and more. Maybe we'll find some of these other books that are mentioned that are now nobody can find them. But more and more keeps coming out. And it's unlimited wealth. And the holy name is an unlimited mine of ecstasy. And the more we chant, Prabhupada gave that brilliant answer, what do you get from chanting? Yeah? What do you get? Huh? More chanting, yeah. That's the most valuable thing. Some people are going to church, like in Nigeria, because they say, come to church and you'll get rich. Big signboards. Such and such church, prosperity, or protection from curses, you know, different things they're promising, especially prosperity. The apostle so-and-so will have a big signboard and there'll be a picture of a Ferrari car and a big palace house. And if you come to this church, and you'll get that. In the name of Jesus. And Jesus said to give up everything. If we told people to give up like Jesus did, we wouldn't have very many members. Right? Go out and preach. Don't take even a second set of cloth. No shoes, no money. Don't carry any food with you. Just go and preach in my name. And if they don't like you, go somewhere else. And Prabhupada inspired, you know, everybody to do like that also. Devotees go everywhere. Now, of course, we're almost welcomed everywhere. It's not like it used to be. But people are bewildered. They're suffering so much. The Kali is in a panic over the Sankirtan movement. We read that in the Chaitanya Mangal. You know, when he heard about the Sankirtan movement, he's panicking. How are we going to prevent this from happening? You know, how will we promote Kali Yuga if the Sankirtan is going on everywhere? Right? Kali can't come in here where there's chanting all the time, and everyone's following the regulated principles, everyone's using all their wealth for Krishna, you're not hoarding it. So he's working very hard. So we see more and more signboards all the time, everywhere we go, promoting Kali Yuga. People are suffering more and more diseases. Stronger versions of all the diseases are always coming. The medicine for the diseases has dangerous side effects. The only cure is the holy name, the Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya concentrated on that. For almost everybody, he just said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. And even with the intimate associates, they also had the big kirtans. Not everyone is a Ramananda Roy, or Sarvabhauma, or Advaita Acharya, or Nityananda, or any of these eternal associates. But everyone is an associate of Lord Chaitanya. So I ask for your blessings. I heard some Prabhupada, somebody was asking him for blessings. And he said, I need your blessings. So I definitely need the blessings of the devotees. We want to get absorbed in these things. It's getting easier and easier now to hear Krishna Leela with all the mercy of Kali Yuga, all the technology, and all the internet radios and the, right? And the MP3 little guys you can keep with you wherever you go, and the books all on the computer or an e-book or something you can read. You can carry all the books in a little tiny thing. But we have to we want to take advantage of these things and hear with faith. Associate with devotees who have faith in the holy name. That's a very important factor. Then, and be free from offenses by always being connected with Lord Chaitanya, who doesn't take offense. Lord Nityananda, who even when he's offended, he begs, to be merciful on those entities who offended him, and carry on. So I was so impressed to hear from His Holiness Varshana Maharaj yesterday. I never before had this opportunity. So I don't want to deprive you any longer, or deprive myself of hearing his profound presentation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And how it's going on, and how he can give it to all of us. And it can bring, this place is growing and growing and growing. Obviously, you have to have more temples in Bombay very soon to accommodate. But we can go anywhere for the kirtans and the prachar and tune anyone into the radio. Even at the hospital, everyone is hearing. So they're getting the real medicine. We want to give the medicine also and the hospital treatment, but not only that. We want to give the prasadam, but not only that. We want everyone to understand where it's all coming from. Then we can get really cured. One more time. Let's try really, really loud so they can hear in Juhu. All right? How is that? That's the loudest one yet? Are you getting better? To practice, breathing exercises. And Kali Yuga, we have to use these guys, you know. Okay, Maharaj.
You've been hearing the discussions going more and more in the direction of the holy name, which is the ultimate gift. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to bestow. When Mother Sachi was pregnant with Lord Gauranga in her womb, and her pregnancy was approaching the 13th month, she was quite apprehensive. So she approached her grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer. And he made his astrological prediction that the child is simply waiting for the most auspicious time to make his appearance. And paradoxically, that most auspicious time was the lunar eclipse, which is considered by the Hindus to be very inauspicious. And because they considered it to be inauspicious, all the Hindus were running to the Ganges to take bath, and everyone was chanting Hare Krishna. And to joke with the Hindus, the Muslims are all also chanting Hare Krishna. And when everyone was chanting Hare Krishna, and all the Hindus, all the Muslims, all of nature rose as if in one voice, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. Taking that all auspicious, keeping that all auspicious name before him, the Lord made his appearance. And throughout his childhood pastimes, before he was even revealing his divine nature, if you look at it from one angle, it's a progression of encouraging the holy name of Krishna. When the child was just a baby, he would cry for no apparent reason. And there was only one thing that pacified him, which was the chanting of the holy name. When he grew just large enough to stand on his own, when the ladies were chanting Hare Krishna, he would dance. And that encouraged and inspired them in their chanting, because it gave him so much pleasure. And seeing his pleasure gave them pleasure. And then when he matured a little bit more and he could run, as he was dancing in the circle of the ladies who were all chanting Hare Krishna for his pleasure, he would suddenly run out into the streets. And then in no time, he would run back with his little childlike hands filled with sandesh and other varieties of sweets. And with his own lotus hands, he would distribute to everyone who was chanting Hare Krishna the sweets that he had begged on their behalf. He was very mischievous, and he would demand things that were impossible to provide. The moon, the stars, a bird that flew across the sky. He would say, I must have it. And he would get very angry and pound the floor and very demanding. It was very difficult for Mother Sachi until she realized the secret. Just chant Hare Krishna. And he would forget all his other desires and demands. It was not overt until, actually, he disclosed his mission one time in East Bengal when he went there to teach. Thousands were coming to him because the fact that Nimai Pandit had come to East Bengal was considered a great blessing for the East Bengalis, because if anybody wanted to be recognized as a true Pandit anywhere in the world, they had to study in Navadvip, where even the young children could contend and defeat the most mature pundits from anywhere else in the world. Navadvip, by the blessings of Saraswati, was the emporium of all culture and learning for the world, especially after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya returned from Mithila. He not only memorized the whole text of the Nyaya, but when he taught it, it was even more enhanced by his erudition and became known as the Navya Nyaya, the new school of Nyaya. So that was one of Nimai Pandit's main courses. His main subjects in his Pandit days was Nyaya and grammar. So when he went to East Bengal, the people were so elated that they did not have to raise the money to go to an academy in Navadvip, because the greatest pundit of Navadvip was coming to them, and they were flocking to his lotus feet by the thousands. But there was one sincere soul there who had already read all the books, not to acquire the ego of a pundit, but with a sincere disposition to understand the absolute truth and the means to attain it. That was Tapan Mishra. And he had a dream where a celestial personality appeared to him and told him, if you want to understand the absolute truth and the means to attain it, you approach Nimai Pandit, but not like the others, because he is the Supreme Lord. And he will impart to you the understanding you seek. So just as Nimai was preparing to return to Nadia, Tapan Mishra came running and fell at his lotus feet. And he begged him. He told him of the dream and begged him to reveal the supreme purpose of life and the means to attain it. And Nimai very clearly, and this is the only time before his initiation, but he clearly told him that the goal and purpose of human life is to develop love for Krishna. The means to do so is the chanting of the holy name. The specific mantra you should chant consists of 16 words and 32 syllables and goes as such. Hare Krishna! And then he also quoted from the scriptures the Hare Krishna mantra and the Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nisteva, Nisteva, Gatira Nita. And he told them that from this holy name, more and more realization will continue to dawn within your heart. But in Nadia, he found, as we've been discussing, that the pundits could not appreciate the gift he came to offer. And for that reason, he was contemplating that I've brought the nectar from Goloka, but it is turned into poison because of their offenses. But if I return to them as a sannyasi, begging, that will correct their offensive mentality, and they will be able to receive the gift I have come to offer. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas. He returned to Nadia, maybe 10 years later. He appeared at the house of Vidyavachaspati in Vidyanagar. And when word spread throughout Navadvip that the Lord has returned, everyone ran, because that period of separation rectified their mentality. It sobered them. Then why do we criticize him? Why were we so unfortunate and ungrateful to criticize him that he had to perform this devastating act of taking sannyas, not only devastating to Mother Sati and Vishnupriya, but everyone was feeling the separation. So when word got around that he'd returned to Vidyanagar, which was where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had his academy before, contemplating that this teaching and study and absorption and nyaya will simply drown Gauranga, he will not be pleased. But since he is my Lord and I am his servant, if I leave and become a renowned Mayavadi, he will come to me. So he accepted the offer of King Prataparudra to be the Raj Pandit. So when word traveled that he had returned, everyone just ran. And huge crowds appeared, desiring his forgiveness. But Mahaprabhu was trying to avoid the crowds, so he went into the house of Vidyavachaspati and just disappeared. And the people were demanding, let us have his darshan. And he was saying, he's gone. And they were criticizing him. If one has so many sweets and he won't share them, he's just a miser. So Vidyavachaspati was already devastated by the fact that Mahaprabhu had come into his home and then just disappeared. And now everyone was criticizing him, and he was just praying, Lord, save me from this dilemma. And his redemption came in the form of another report that the Lord has appeared in Kulia. And then the thousands that had come and congregated at Vidyanagar turned and ran the other direction. And as they were running, they were proclaiming that he's in Kulia. And everyone in the region of Vidyanagar, they all ran. It was just like the gopis hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. Whatever they were doing, they just laughed that Gauranga has returned. And this huge roar of Gauranga as they proceeded to the Ganges. And they already had so many boats lined up to carry the tens of thousands of people across. And one boat can hold, what, 10, 20 people? Like 150 people jumped in every boat. They sank every boat. Somehow or other, the people, they were just like making their own roads. They were knocking down the forests and the jungles. And they just somehow, by taking, you know, trunks of banana trees or water pots or somehow or other, they all got across. And when Lord Gauranga appeared on the rooftop in Kulia, all you could see in all directions, there was no Ganges, there was no fields, there was no rice paddies, and just heads, and this huge uproar of Gauranga! Which is an important accompaniment to the chanting. Rather, this Panchatattva Maha Mantra. The Panchatattva does not accept offenses, so we chant their holy names before entering into the very sacred Maha Mantra. So, when they converged, when the crowd converged upon at Kulia, everyone was in a repentant mood. And they were praying like for the welfare of, you know, some family relative who was not favorable towards devotional service. But especially it is famous as the place where all offenses are forgiven. Because those who had offended, those who had blasphemed the Lord, they were begging his forgiveness. And he gave one general remedy. If with your mouth you have drunk poison, then now your only redemption is to drink nectar in the form of the holy name. So, returning to Jagannath Puri, Lord Gauranga told Sri Nityananda Prabhu that if you just stay here in Puri like a peaceful, saintly person, the world will be diminished. If you resume your wild nature as the Avadut, then the world will be delivered. And especially the rest of Bengal, outside of Navadvip, you must return there and spread the chanting of the holy name. So, Lord Nityananda, he, taking Ram Das and Gadadhar Das and the rest of the 12 Gopals, they headed for West Bengal. But they were so immersed in the mellows of devotion by their chanting of the holy names that Gadadhar Das, who is actually amongst Lord, he's actually Gopi, Chandrakanti, the golden effulgence of Srimati Radharani personified. So in that mood, Gadadhar Das would just be selling yogurt. And Ram Das was in the rest were in the mood of cowherd boys, and they were very playful. And they kept forgetting where they were going. So every now and then they'd ask directions. Oh, you just missed the road, you know, 6 hours back. So they'd laugh and go back. And then they remember, we better ask directions. And they ask, oh, you just missed it again, 12 hours back that way. Finally, somehow, they returned to West Bengal and made their headquarters at the house of Raghava Pandit. And there, they would have kirtan for months on end. For 3 months, nobody would go home. The children would not eat. They wouldn't go home. Everybody was just immersed in the kirtan. And one day, Raghava Pandit, or Lord Nityananda, he asked Raghava Pandit that, I would like a garland made of kadamba flowers. Raghava Pandit said, well, kadamba flowers don't grow here. They grow in Vrindavan. And it's not even the season in Vrindavan, so how are we going to get kadamba flowers? Nitai said, just go out and see if you can find some. So he went out, and then he smelled this fragrance of kadamba flowers. Very strong. He looked, where is that coming from? And he looked. It was coming from his lemon tree. His lemon tree was blossoming profusely with kadamba flowers. So he quickly picked them and made a garland and offered it to Lord Nityananda. And the scent of that garland when offered to Lord Nityananda just infused all the devotees with more ecstasy than even before. And then a wonderful thing happened. The fragrance of kadamba flowers which pervaded Raghava Pandit's home changed to the scent of Damanaka flowers. Everyone's looking around. Where is that coming from? And the lemon tree was still full of kadamba flowers. They couldn't find where the scent of Damanaka flowers was coming from. And the devotees were just intoxicated by its fragrance. So they had to turn to Lord Nityananda. You tell us, reveal where it's coming from. And Lord Nityananda told them that my brother, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Puri, has taken the form of a Damanaka tree. He's come to watch your kirtan. He's here, invisible to your eyes, but you're sensing his presence by this fragrance. So, one thing that was very distinct in the life of Srila Prabhupada, and he even said it in his own words, which are so rich with humility, which he wrote in his diary on the Jaladutta, seeing the horrible skyline of Boston, that, my Lord, I don't know why you've brought me to this horrible place. These people are so infested with the modes of passion and ignorance. How will they take up the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But you are the supreme magician, and you can make me dance. Make me dance, make me dance, Lord. Make me dance according to your desire. I have no knowledge, and I have no devotion, Srila Prabhupada said. But I do have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. This is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In every yuga, there is a yuga avatar who teaches the yuga dharma. And even in the Kali Yuga, there's usually a yuga, there's always a yuga avatar. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes to savor some specific flavor about himself, as well as to delve deeply into the heart, the love in the heart of Srimati Radharani, which he distributes in the form of the chanting of the holy name, he creates some fabulous good fortune which spreads upon the surface of this earth, which has never previously or will ever be given by anyone else. And therefore, Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahavadinaya Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gurudse Namaha. You've given what even Krishna himself did not bestow. Krishna revealed it, but he did not bestow it. Krishna was thinking of appearing in this world to savor the mellows of devotional love and to propagate a path of Raganug Bhakti. But Krishna did not propagate that path. He revealed it, but he did not bestow a method to achieve it. And therefore, after Krishna's disappearance from this world, he was thinking that his mission was unsuccessful. The living entities are my children. I'm responsible for their welfare. And Krishna Lila did not really benefit the world at large very much, other than the sages of Dandakaranya and the personified Shrutis. No one else was actually able to enter into Braj Lila. So he was thinking he had to return again and give a process by which anyone, simply by accepting his simple and sublime process of chanting the holy name, would become eligible to enter into the sweet and holy groves of Braj. But simply obtaining a great fortune does not necessarily mean you will have the ability to appreciate it. And we discussed the other night offering a huge precious gem to a little tiny ant. He'll be appreciative if you give him a grain of sugar. If you give him a precious gem, it's just an obstacle to him. And the reason is he does not have the faculties to appreciate its utility or value. And he'll have no appreciation. So similarly, the conditioned souls of this world, endowed with a similar lack of qualifications like that of the tiny ant, have been given such a precious gem. But they did not have, nobody in this world ever had the ability to appreciate the value and the utility of that gem. And therefore, in the Satyayuga, the Yuga Dharma is meditation for 60,000 years, concentrating on the super soul and realizing the form of the Lord through that meditation. In the Treta Yuga, realizing the Lord in the sacrificial fire after thousands of years of practice. In the Dvapara Yuga, realizing the form of the Lord in the deity through the process of seva. But to think that what is achieved by that 60,000 years of meditation with rapt attention could not only be equaled, but far surpassed by the mere chanting of the holy names was something that the intellect of the jiva simply cannot fathom. And we see in the wonderful conversation between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas, the Yama Dutas and Yamaraj, after the event with Ajamil, the Yama Dutas returned to Yamaraj with many questions on their minds. First of all, they wanted to know who's the supreme. When Yamaraj was answering their questions one by one, they started asking very intelligent questions that and evoking very wise responses for our illumination from Yamaraj. They asked why, if the mere, not even pure chanting, namabhas, awards freedom from birth and death, liberation. Why so many scriptures prescribe so many other forms of atonement and liberation? And Yamaraj's answer was very wonderful. He said, the glories of the holy name are so unfathomable that even the great compilers of scripture could not conceive of the glories of the holy name, and therefore they prescribed other forms of atonement in Yuga Dharma. Not Yuga Dharma, other forms of atonement. But because the living entities in general cannot conceive of the glories of the holy name and the efficacy of that process, there are different forms for other ages. Whereas the holy name in any age is in itself competent to bestow a goal higher than that of the Yuga Dharma. But even when the holy name of the Lord is propagated by the Yuga Avatar in the age of Kali, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as the Avatari, who is Krishna, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, what he gives so far surpasses the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma is like trying to cool yourself on a hot humid evening by fanning yourself with a palm leaf. But if a cool, soothing breeze flows off of the ocean, you don't need that palm leaf. So when the Lord comes to relish, he comes for his own internal purposes, desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him which she alone can relish through her love, and the sublime happiness he feels when he tastes the sweetness of her love. He also shares with the world his own experience of his internal purposes in coming, which then overlap with his external purposes of coming to bestow the Yuga Dharma and being attracted by the loud calls of Advaitacharya and the chanting of Haridas Thakur. So when Mahaprabhu comes in as original feature, as the avatari, once only in 1,000 yuga cycles, he spreads some fabulous good fortune upon the surface of the earth, which has never and will never be offered again, except that once in a day of Brahma, that once in that protracted period of 8,600,000 years when he comes. And that is why Karabhajana Muni is emphasizing in the 11th canto in his instructions to King Nimi that the residents of Satyayuga and Treta Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, the universal administrators of higher planets in heaven, they're all praying to take birth in this Kali Yuga. This Kali Yuga, not the general Kali Yuga. Because the highest achievement conceivable, even beyond what's conceivable by the human intellect, is made so readily and easily available by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you consider the wonderful pastimes that we've been hearing in perspective of the fact that the whole universe was delivered, what to speak of the fact that many of those associates who were delivered were eternal nitya siddhas. Rupa Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, even Jagai and Madhai, from a Vaikuntha perspective, are the Lord's eternal associates. So their deliverance is not such a phenomenal event in context of the 48 years when Mahaprabhu was present, because the whole universe was delivered. And his delivering his own nitya siddhas is not such a phenomenal event from a limited perspective, but is meant for an unlimited perspective of leaving this world a legacy of love regarding the chanting of the holy name and the efficacy of that holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not appear simply to deliver the universe. That was one part of his lila. The other part was to leave a method by which anyone in the universe could be delivered thereafter. Not to Vaikuntha as following the Yuga Dharma can fulfill, but a process by which for the rest of the Kali Yuga there would be a means to achieve shelter in Goloka Vrindavan. So even though such a great fortune has been offered to this world, on the one hand, on the other hand, there is no more horrible period in history. And that is because Kali, the predominating lord of this age, knows that this is Kali Yuga in name only. Srila Prabhupada said it is stated that there will be a 10,000 year golden age when Krishna consciousness becomes very prevalent in this world, which means that Kali will no longer have dominion. And therefore he has escalated his attack on the expectant pilgrims, homebound pilgrims, to cover their intelligence with smoke screens of deception, to incite quarrel and hypocrisy is his service, which is actually a service to the Lord, because in this lila the Lord does not take up arms. He does not kill the demons physically, but kills them kills the demoniac propensity with the love which is concentrated in the Hare Krishna mantra. The killing of the demons is performed as a secondary act. by the influence of Kali. Just as Krishna did not have to personally arrange the disappearance of the Jadu dynasty, but it happened itself by internal discord. So, by conflict amongst the great demons of this world, they will annihilate themselves. But what the devotees have to very vigilantly watch is that Kali's secret undercover agents do not infiltrate our consciousness with the propensity for quarrel and hypocrisy in our own relationships. Because Kali is empowered. His influence is beyond what the jiva soul can resist. And therefore, we have to very strictly and sincerely take shelter of the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized two things of equal value: chanting of the holy name and service to the devotees. They're inseparable. And another thing he equally emphasized was to avoid criticizing devotees. Because as we heard, that when Mahaprabhu turned black due to having absorbed the unlimited sins of Jagga and Madhai, and the devotees were shocked to see the golden form of the Lord transmute into a blackish form, and seeing their condition, Mahaprabhu asked Advaitacharya, "How do I look?" He said, "You look like Shama Sundar." So how to return him to that golden form? He said, "Have kirtan." And by that kirtan, all these sins will go into the hearts of the offenders. So the influence of Kali is beyond what the jiva soul can resist. But we have the protection of the holy name and the Vaishnava association. But the problem is, in this world, anything, if regularly perceived as easily available, we tend to take for granted. Even the most phenomenal events in this world, if they're readily and easily available, we tend to take them for granted. How the sun rises every morning in a completely predictable manner. We go into a dark room and turn on the light switch, and we're very impressed with how modern technology dispels the darkness. We take for granted how the sun rises every morning and dispels the darkness and cold throughout the universe. We see sculptures, and are very impressed. But how the tiny spark of consciousness can enter into the womb of a woman and develop through, you know, youth and maturity and old age, and all these infinite varieties of forms, and then disappear, going who knows where. We're not so impressed because we see birth and maturity taking place everywhere. We see newer and newer forms of airplanes flying in the sky, and we might be impressed. But the fact that we're living on a spacecraft who is a very loving mother, an expansion of Satyabhama, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, a great devotee in the form of Earth, who is hurtling through space at phenomenal speed in perfect orbit, carrying innumerable living entities in their homes, in the oceans, in the rivers, in the mountains. It doesn't even register, because it's a gift so readily and easily made available that even though we may register with our knowledge-acquiring senses and possibly even register with the mind, still the wonder of the event does not enter into the realm of consciousness, and therefore we really fail to appreciate the wonders that are naturally and easily available to us. And the greatest misfortune for which Mahaprabhu laments with tearful voice and heartfelt words, Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midisha mahajini nanuragaha, that my Lord, you're so merciful that you've invested all your love in the form of the holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for it. Identifying the misfortune which tends to inflict the living entities, Mahaprabhu cried out that verse. And to give us some appreciation of the glories of the holy name and the efficacy of chanting, he revealed his wonderful pastimes. When Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, I believe it was 1974, and he was looking at the beautiful deities, Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, and appreciating how they were served with such love and devotion. He also commented that Krishna consciousness has two important dimensions. Bhagavat Dharma, Pancharatika Vidhi, and Bhagavat Dharma. He said, of the two, Bhagavat Dharma is most important. And he defined Bhagavat Dharma as hearing and chanting. And he gave a very grave warning, which in retrospect was like a prophecy. If you neglect your Bhagavat Dharma, your hearing and chanting about the holy names and glories and pastimes of the Lord, the day will come when your service to the deity you will see as a burden. And you will think about your spiritual master that rascal, he has left me with this burden. These are very difficult words to hear, very painful, but very important. Because Mahaprabhu revealed his pastimes, Krishna revealed his pastimes, not just for the sake of that limited period of time when they were present in this world, but for the rest of history, that we can appreciate how the glories and the pastimes of the Lord are all contained in the holy name of the Lord. And when that holy name takes root within our hearts, it'll gradually fructify. And as it fructifies, developing into a creeper and proceeding to take shelter of a desire tree in Goloka Vrindavan, it will reveal everything. That holy name will reveal the qualities, the pastimes, the nature of the Lord, and our own individual relationship with the Lord. If we take the chanting of the holy name with as much care and attention as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansing the Gundicha temple, representing our own hearts. How to make them an appropriately clean and cool and soothing residence for Krishna to return. That is the mood of Rathiyatra. taking the reins of the chariots, pulling Krishna and Balaram back to Vrindavan. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his afterword to Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, his Bhavataranga, which is like reflections on the glories of the Dham, which he had revealed in his Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, but he's more and more entering into the holy Dham by remembering the pastimes of the Lord revealed there. And he says, when I see Mahaprabhu at Kulia, it is like the gopis seeing Krishna at Kurukshetra. Similar mood. When Mahaprabhu appeared at Kulia, he was as a sannyasi. That was his plan. They would become repentant. They would not take him for granted if he performed this severe act of the, although he's the supreme enjoyer, he's becoming the supreme renunciate. So it had that effect of making the sinners and offenders repentant, but it had another dimension of effect. It was just like seeing that form of that golden sannyasi at the rooftop in Kulia was just like, this is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words as he's entering into his own Siddha Swarup as Kamala Manjari. Seeing Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi on that rooftop in Kulia makes me just want to take him back to the temple of Srivas, because Srivasangam is Vrindavan, where Rasa Lila is performed in the form of the kirtans there. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing that Mahaprabhu manifesting himself at Kulia as a sannyasi is just like to the residents of Nadia, is just like Krishna meeting with the Brijabasis in Kurukshetra. That meeting did not relieve the separation, but rather intensified it. Because Krishna was in the garb of royalty, surrounded by his military entourage of elephants, chariots, and warriors. It did not mitigate the separation of the Brijabasis, it deepened it. Devotees desire to deepen their love for Krishna, and Krishna fulfills that desire by interspersing their experience with episodes of separation. First, we have to have some love, because before there's love, what we take as separation is just blatant ignorance. But when there is love, we want to deepen that experience, and Krishna fulfills that desire by episodes of separation. So seeing him as a sannyasi fulfilled that effect, or rather enhanced the effect of evoking a sense of repentance amongst the offenders, but it also, amongst the devotees, deepened their separation. He's come back, but we don't want to see him as a sannyasi. We want to see that long flowing hair cascading across his shoulders and the beautiful decorations given by Mother Sachi and the beautiful garland swinging as he dances. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, I know he's my Lord and I'm his servant. I should not make demands and place expectations, but oh, I wish I could take him back to the temple of Srivas. So we should not take the pastimes of the Lord to be historical events. On the one hand, they are historical. But truly speaking, it is absolute revelation coming to us through the medium of history, meant to give us an appreciation, especially Gaur-lila, meant not only for the deliverance of the individuals or the universe at that time, but meant to give us appreciation of the holy name as the most precious jewel of Goloka Vrindavan, the treasure, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan, which we should guard with great care and attention. Within our hearts, where it will eventually dispel all darkness and ignorance and award the highest achievement conceivable for the living entities, entrance into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, which is only possible by the mercy and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as brought to us by the agent of His mercy, His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much.